KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you on this beautiful Monday. Man, we are having some crazy beautiful weather.
It's like
not a lot of water out there, but it's crazy beautiful weather. Jennifer Bryant with Nourish Nutrition Counseling and Gina Cordova with Rise and Abide Wellness. Two perfect women.
Definitely.
Don't laugh too hard. And they're here helping people rethink what true health really means. Gina helps, and Jennifer talks a lot about nutrition.
That's right.
And the Lord and how He speaks into our lives at the same time. So ladies, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
I thought maybe today we ought to talk about framing this. When people hear health, they immediately think weight or appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And is that true with men and women?
Yeah, I think if probably women a little more so, but yes, I think both. Yeah.
And with social media, there's all kinds of images. It's one thing to read those magazines that used to be the popular thing
mm-hmm.
about body image. Now it's every time you pick up your phone, mm-hmm. there's an AI image of what you should look like, man or woman. So let's talk about that. How do you redefine health and wellness beyond body image?
I think a good place to start, obviously, is always God's word, right? Mm. So what does God's word say about our bodies? One thing that's really clear in multiple passages is He talks about how our bodies are not, what's on the outside is not the important thing, right? Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like our culture totally flips that. And it makes what's on the outside the most important thing. So that's wrong, first of all. And then we also think about our behaviors of what we're doing with exercise or nutrition. We think about that as like the goal is to look a certain way. And that's not, that goes against everything God's word says, right? Mm. So God calls us to take care of our bodies for His glory. And our culture just comes in and it puts in these little ideas that are really not biblical. And we end up grabbing onto those. And then that's what we end up making our goal. And it's just not, that's not what God has called us to do.
Yeah. And I mean, going back to what the word says, it tells us that our body is a temple and it's part of God's creation, and God's creation is good, and we're to steward God's creation. And then it's how we worship God here on earth. It's how we serve others. It's how we engage in relationship. And so the body has a purpose, but it's never meant to be worshiped. We're created to worship God. And I think culture encourages a worship of the body and a worship of health and a worship of wellness. And it's important to remember that we live in a fallen world, and that's why Jesus had to come. And when it talks about Jesus healed us, He healed us ultimately from our sin, and we're going to get new bodies. And so it's important to keep that in mind.
So I think there's people probably listening that have been through some kind of trauma, mm-hmm. maybe emotional or whatever, or spiritual, however the trauma's occurred. And maybe they let themselves go
mm-hmm.
for a season.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they ate too much. Maybe they didn't exercise. Movement, I think, Gina, you've said it many times, any kind of movement is helpful.
Yeah.
Especially when you're like me and you get to be almost 70. Just moving is hard to get people motivated. So I guess I want to ask, look, I understand the kindness and the approach that you both have. But you also have clients that are capable of doing something about their unhealthy state.
Yeah.
Can you speak to them now and say, look, time to get started. Let's get some discipline. Let's get going and help.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one thing that you mentioned, Jim, that I just want to highlight is sometimes we end up in these unhealthy patterns when we're trying to cope with a really hard situation. So it might be, you know, like you mentioned, a trauma. It might be just a really overwhelming phase of life. It might be an injury, right? Mm. And so we have trouble sometimes figuring out how to get unstuck, right? And I think that's kind of what you're talking about, is how do we move from this unhealthy coping pattern to where we can where we can thrive and where we can really find some behaviors that really help us. And actually, God's word has a lot to say about how we change too, how we make a meaningful change. So I always say my advice is just, if you're not in God's word regularly, like that's actually your first step. And asking God to help you find the motivation to take care of the gift that he's given you in your body. And I think, again, the culture just poisons our ideas, right? Because it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be hard. We just have to start with something small.
So Gina, you and Jennifer have partnered up on a lot of different things. Your wellness and the word workshops are kind of a frequent thing you do a couple times a year. Any idea when the next one's coming up?
Yeah, we're probably thinking fall.
That's our goal.
Yeah, maybe end of August.
And we're committed to making sure people know about that, and hopefully you guys will visit with us. But I'm going to start with this, Gina. Can you just exercise and then eat whatever you want and be perfectly healthy?
No, definitely not.
That was a leading question.
Yeah, right? So that just doesn't work, you know, and I think diet culture was all about that, like punishment, or exercise was seen as punishment for eating bad, or, you know, but no, it's all integrated, right? We're not like these isolated beings, but our emotional health plays into our physical health, and our spiritual health plays into our physical health, and how we nourish our body is going to determine how our body handles the exercise or is prepared for exercise. And so you can't just exercise and then just eat whatever you want, you know. Yeah, for sure.
I would say that I'm uncomfortable with a couple different things when I go to the gym. There's always people that don't really exercise. They just stare at themselves in the mirror. Yeah. And occasionally they'll pick up a heavy weight. I never actually see them do any reps, but they pick it up, go over by the bench, sit there for a few minutes, and then go put it away. I don't know what those folks are doing.
It's probably a fruit of the culture and what culture has, you know, how it's influenced us, and telling us again that it's about what we look like and image. It's all about image. Yeah.
So I have three younger daughters. I think Jennifer knows two of them.
Yeah.
And I think that they will tell me that they'll put on earbuds and stuff, and that is their, it's almost like a shield. So nobody can come hit on them, I guess. Yeah. So I just can't imagine what it's like to be in a woman and be in that environment and feel like you're working out and you're without being self-conscious. So Gina, you do some things to try to protect women as you're working them out, right?
Yeah. So I work specifically with women, and everything that I do is online, just because there are a number of women who have no desire whatsoever to go to a gym, whether it's intimidation or past experience or cost as well, or just time. It adds a lot of time to go to the gym, right? And so, offering opportunities for women to work out at home and still get a really efficient and effective workout, but also pointing us to Christ and sharing scripture and putting our mind on the right things as we do that, which makes a huge difference, because again, our mind has a big part in our physical exercise. So
I remember years ago, and I won't mention the name of the organization, but I was a general manager of a local health spa, and that's right when aerobics in quotes was the big thing. So we had all these women in, you know, they were very attractive women in these very tight outfits. And so the back row would be all these men. So I'm talking with one of the instructors, and she said, I want to let you know what I'm going to do, because these guys are really not working out. They're just kind of bothering the women. So I'm going to ask them, I'm not going to throw them out, I'm going to ask them all to come up to the front. And that cured the whole deal, because she about killed. Those guys were just sucking air, you know, faster than, and the women in the room felt safer.
Yeah.
These guys are in front of them, they're exhausted. And actually, I think they developed a little respect for what was going on. Jennifer, what about nutrition? Is nutrition for women and fellowshipping and talking about what they eat different than men?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think it depends on the group, probably. because I think some groups are more focused on it than others. I think one of the things, and this actually relates to the gym comment too, one of the things that we really have to protect against is comparison. Mm. And I think that is that happens a lot in gyms too, sure. Which is one of the reason why, you know, some people don't feel comfortable going, or maybe it's something where you want to be picky about which gym you go to, you know, just to kind of guard against that comparison. But that happens with food too. So I was speaking at a luncheon last month, and it's set up where all the ladies go up and they get their lunch, and it's like a buffet. And so sometimes I think it's fun to just kind of watch what people are doing, watch what people are, you know. And I just noticed so many of the ladies were looking at other ladies' plates and comparing, like, how much were they choosing to put on their plate versus how much did I put on my plate? You know what I mean? And so that's a big trap. Comparison is just not helpful. There was a quote, and I tried to find it, and I couldn't find it, but I think John Piper said it. He said, comparison is either wallowing or boasting, neither of which is helpful. So I think with food, when you're, you know, in a fellowship situation and you're, you know, you're all enjoying food together, that's exactly what Jesus meant food to be. I mean, if you look throughout the New Testament, every time they're eating, it's a celebration. It's a feast. There's something spiritual attached to it. And so I think that's important. I think it's important to just enjoy the food and the people you're with and not do the whole comparison game.
I love it. We're going to spend time with Gina and Jennifer all the way up till 2 o'clock. So don't feel like we had to jam everything into this session. But the last question for this segment is, what are some signs, or how could you measure someone is actually healthy that has nothing to do with the scale? Mm.
That's huge. I think lab work is a good first thing, you know, looking at blood sugars, cholesterol, blood pressure, things like that. That's a really good objective measure.
Yeah. And then also like how you're feeling, you know, if you're maybe you're exercising, but maybe you're doing too much. So it's actually depleting you and leaving you more tired versus doing an adequate, healthy amount that leaves you feeling more energized and strong and mobile, you know. Mm-hmm. So how you're feeling even after you eat something, like how does this make my body feel after I eat it? You know, do I feel sick? Do I feel, you know, bloated or distracted or
I always have clients also, like, energy levels are really good, but also mood.
Yeah.
Like, am I feeling depressed or anxious, or like what's going on with my emotions? Am I able to regulate my emotions in a healthy way? And a lot of times that depends on food and exercise too.
Yeah.
I love it. Jennifer Bryant with Nourish Nutrition Counseling. Her website is nourishnutritionconsulting.com.
Counseling.
Oh, yeah. I said it wrong.
Oh, you did.
Nourishnutritioncounseling.com.
Yep.
And Gina Cordova is with riseandabidewellness.com. And you can find out information and the services that they provide. One of the things we're going to cover in the next segment, too, is they do offer group stuff and love to speak at churches and help people in various ways. So I'm glad we have these two perfect young women here with us.
We should talk about that too.
These perfect moms, perfect, your husbands would agree, right?
I hope mine would.
I love it. We'll be back with more on ABQ Connect. Stay with us. We are back on ABQ Connect. We appreciate you joining us and listening. It's a fun time. Of course, our friend Steve Ryman and our general manager will be back with you Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of this week. I'm Jim Williams, and I'm in studio with Jennifer Bryant. She is with Nourish Nutrition Counseling, and Gina Cordova with Rise and Abide Wellness. They both provide services to people, and Gina does exercise instruction, and they both have a spiritual component to what they do. Nutrition counseling is what Jennifer kind of specializes in. And so I wanted to spend this segment saying, okay, give us an example of why someone came to you and what you kind of program you put them on and what the results were. And maybe it's ongoing. I get the sense that both of you, I don't know if this is accurate, kick people out of the nest. Because sometimes people perpetually, like I always said this to you, Jennifer, counseling used to breed more counseling. Mm-hmm. And so you're like in therapy or counseling for your whole life. Mm-hmm. That's not the way Christians typically approach things. Mm-hmm. You kind of give people a, hey, you're where you need to be. Mm-hmm. So tell me give us an example.
You want to go first, Dean?
Sure. And I would say maybe my field is a little bit different because I actually have women who've been with me for several years now.
Cool.
Because it's helping them be consistent with exercising and, you know, the ongoing programming and
sure.
workout calendars, whatever helps.
I remember them, I took spin classes, and when my spin instructor left, I was all bummed out because I went to him for like 8 years and it was such a blast.
The instructor definitely makes a difference.
Yeah.
Consistency. And so I would say there's a couple people that come to mind. And one, my sister, who actually was diagnosed with RA several years ago. And so for her coming and working with me, like she had started with something that was very, very gentle and specific and got her to a place where she could continually come to my classes. And with her, it's modifying to be appropriate for her season and her body right now. And so I know she's, her and I were athletes together. And so it was a major adjustment for her to have to learn to modify. But
contrary messages coming to her? Like, was the culture saying, oh, you should be doing this, and you had to fight against some of those?
No, I wouldn't say so. Just, you know, like when you are used to operating a certain way and it's hard for you when then you're diagnosed with something and you have to adjust and you can't do as much as you used to. So that was more.
Gene, I've been diagnosed with old age.
And I get that. We're all going to be there someday. And so it does require adjustment.
Yes.
Right? You probably can't do what you did when you were 20, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so I'm sure you went through some of that, like having to kind of talk, give yourself some healthy talk and work through that with the Lord. Like, help me to accept where I am and do my best with it right now. And so I think that's really a benefit of working with someone long term is you know them, you're building relationship with them, and you can nurture them in a different way and come alongside and encourage them in being faithful with your season right now.
But when you say encourage, you don't just mean, hey, come on, go. You're not the cheerleader.
No.
You're also encouraging them in spiritual ways and telling them the truth.
Yes, the truth. And then always taking it to the Lord. We see so many examples all throughout the Psalms and scriptures about crying out to the Lord, right? You don't have to just like suck it up, buttercup, and move on. Like, no, we take our complaints to the Lord. And I think my sister's been such a great example in this of just crying out to the Lord about like, this is so hard and just how awful this is. But then as you're pouring it out to the Lord then brings you comfort and helps you in that, you know, because you're being honest and authentic about where you're at.
So a lot of people with arthritis.
Yeah.
A lot. But you can still do some activity. You can still get in shape.
Yes, I would say so. Again, like walking, moving regularly, because as we age, we tend to get stiffer, right? And mobility is so important for us. And so that's like one of my favorite classes to teach is just mobility classes, because at the end, everyone's like, oh my gosh.
Is that stretching?
No, it's moving through your joint range of motions as I'm sitting here rolling my shoulders. But no, I think when we think of stretching, we think of like, you know, elongating and holding, and that's not what it's like. Getting yourself to move around the joint and break up that stiffness that we all get.
Well, I remember as an athlete at the University of New Mexico, we did do long stretching, we used to call it. Now the stretching is totally different. They actually do warm-ups, walking across you know, high kicks and lunges and different things that are not held for 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And so it's a whole different thing now.
Yeah, yeah. You definitely don't want to do holding stretches on a cold body, for sure.
So and how often do you find old people like me that know the old way of doing things? Yeah. Is it hard to change those patterns?
Not necessarily. I mean, I haven't experienced that. I'm sure it is hard for some, but in the women that I've worked with, I haven't run into that per se.
I mean, they're willing to say, oh, that's a better way to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Jennifer, how about you and nutrition stuff?
One of my current clients comes to mind, and she's so funny.
We'll call her Lisa. That's okay. Not her real name. We're protecting her real name. But she came to me a few months ago and, you know, she was intrigued that I was faith-based, but she also was very kind of skeptical. She thought, I don't really want to add anything to my Bible reading routine. I already know the Bible. And her A1C was a little bit high, which is, that stands for hemoglobin A1C, which is a marker of blood sugars. And she had a history of diabetes in her family. And so she was in the pre-diabetes category. And so she called me and she said, Jen, I need some help. I don't really know what to do. I see all these mixed messages online. And rather than trying to sort them all out on my own, I just like a little bit of guidance. So I met with her. We came up with a plan. We did three specific things. We added a lot more fruits and vegetables. We came up with kind of a schedule where she was eating consistently. I told her to be a little bit flexible with that, but it was helpful for her to have kind of some guidelines around like, okay, you need to eat breakfast between these times. And then we also just added a little bit of movement. And she was a little bit resistant to that as well because she thought she didn't have any time. So we just added 10 minutes of walking after lunch and dinner. And so she came back a couple weeks later and she said, Jen, I have to confess something to you. I really did not want to do your devotional. It's basically a 9-week kind of a book. I don't have it published yet, but I have all my clients go through it. She said, I did not want to do that. I thought, I already know the Bible. How does this relate to what I'm eating? And then that second visit, she came back and she was just like, oh my goodness, I had no idea. This was amazing. I'm so sorry that I felt this way, you know, and she was pouring out her soul, you know, just she was so surprised at how much the Bible really had to say about it. And so she said, it's been so much easier to make these changes than what I thought. And she said it was so worth the cost because I wasn't spending hours trying to figure out what I was supposed to do online, you know? So I don't have her next hemoglobin A1C, but I would guess that it would go down at this point because obviously we've changed some significant things in her behavior.
I love that. Question for both of you, and I'll let Gina go first. How do you measure progress? So somebody starts an exercise program. How do you know that they're improving?
Yeah, I would think there's a few things. Well, one would be habit. Like, so if someone comes to me and they haven't been exercising at all, and then we, you know, like we start small, like Jen was saying, like 10 minutes or 5 minutes or, you know, like just 5 minutes a day or whatever. And then you're building up and you're tired after the first 5 minutes, but then you can stick with it. And then the next week you can do 10 minutes, right? Or the next week you can do a little bit more.
How much would you ideally like to exercise every day?
Like for me?
Mm-hmm.
I just love movement. So, you know, for me, I think it's important to be mobile throughout the day and getting up and not just sitting for endless hours, for sure. And all of us need that because it's just not healthy for us to sit. But for women that I specifically work with, we want to be doing at least 2 to 3 days of resistance training. And so that's something that, you know, I try to incorporate for myself. And then maybe like 1 day of HIIT and then walking on other days and gentle movement or just staying as mobile as you can, but also the resistance training is so important for our muscles and our bones because our muscle mass is decreasing, our bone density is decreasing. And so, yeah, actually one of my clients, that was her testimony is she had been walking regularly, but then she started coming to my classes and we were doing strength and bar and, when she went back for her bone density test, her bone density had improved because she had added resistance training. And so
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's hard work.
It is. Yeah.
But I always hear people when they hear about hard work, they use the word complex or they're confused. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand that. Hard work is not confusing mm-hmm. and it's not complicated.
Mm-hmm.
It just hurts a little bit.
Yeah, and I think we live in a culture that really values or maybe even idolizes comfort, and so we don't want to do anything that's uncomfortable.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not really talking about going out and running a 26 miles in 85 degree weather with, you know, 80% humidity either, right?
I mean, that's not what I, that's what I train for. No. I was a swimmer, so.
Well, I have great admiration for people that are like marathoners, mm-hmm. but I could never do that. Yeah. In fact, I would never run on purpose, but I love pedaling. I love being on my mountain bike. Mm-hmm. And at 68 years old and after the basketball and stuff I played, my knees don't run well, but yeah. I can ride a bike a long time. Yeah.
I think that's a key to exercise too, is like find something you enjoy.
That's what I was going
to
say.
And yeah. make it easy. Like it doesn't have to be, you know, spending hours and hours running. Like, you know, a 30-minute class, an online class that you can just do at your lunch break or whatever. Like yeah. it doesn't have to be a big thing.
Well, after I go for a big mountain bike ride, though, I want to eat a pint of ice cream, Jennifer. Is that good for
well,
me?
Well, that probably means you didn't eat enough before your ride, Jim.
There you go. But talk to us about that. I mean, there are, this does take some discipline.
Yeah.
But you're not talking about a diet.
No. And I think that's one of the things we need to guard against is like, we all have a tendency to be all or nothing. Right. And with exercise too.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And so we have to guard against that. And I think part of how we do that is we understand our own tendency. So my tendency is to overdo it. My tendency is towards like perfectionism or thinking about things too much or spending too much time doing my exercise. So I know that that's my tendency. So I want to guard against that. Other people, their tendency is more like apathy, where they just don't really care as much. And so then they have to guard against that. And so a good dietitian or a good counselor will help you understand your tendency and then give you specific goals to help you improve your how you're taking care of your body, basically. So I love that bone density. Mm-hmm. There are some objective things that you can do to really see if you're being successful with some of the changes. So I do work a lot with diabetes. And so blood sugars are a really good one. I have my clients checking their blood sugars periodically. And it's really cool when you make a change in a specific meal. Maybe you add some more vegetables. Maybe you increase your protein. You work on more fiber. And your blood sugar doesn't go as high. You know, so it's kind of an immediate like feedback that, okay, I'm doing the right thing. And that makes you motivated and that makes you want to keep going.
Last question for both of you in this segment is, I know everybody I talk to about various things like this is always looking at YouTube and they follow someone. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And I sometimes go look at those and literally 70% of those are so bogus.
Yes.
They're just trying to sell you something. Mm-hmm. What is mm-hmm. what's that conflict like for people?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say in the realm of exercise, there are definitely a lot of influencers out there who have like absolutely no training or mm-hmm. very little training, if any at all.
It's in nutrition too.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you have to be so careful because you want to follow someone who's been trained and certified and knows what they're talking about to protect you from injury. And, you know, so you do really have to be very careful on YouTube. Actually, I have a YouTube channel with some free videos up there. So
what is that channel?
It's just Rise and Abide Wellness on YouTube.
Rise and Abide Wellness. So you can look that up.
Yeah.
Well, I think people are getting to know both of you. Jennifer's been on a little bit more than Gina, but if you're looking for answers to these questions, these two ladies can help you quite a bit. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about health across life stages, younger, middle age, older, and how things change a little bit. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back. We're back with Jennifer Bryant, Nurse Nutrition Counseling, and Gina Cordova with Rise and Abide Fitness. They're both, they coach, they counsel, they work together with people. If you want to reach out to them, nursenutritioncounseling.com is Jennifer's website. Gina is at riseandabidewellness.com, and she told us before the break you can also type in Rise and Abide Wellness on YouTube mm-hmm. and get an example of the type of exercise programs that she does. Jennifer, you also have a YouTube channel?
Yes, I do. Jen Bryant at Nourished Nutrition.
Are you just doing that because you want to be as cool as Gina?
Well, here's the thing. I actually really don't like putting my face on the internet, but I feel so passionate that there is so much bad stuff out there that I feel a responsibility to put some good things out there. So that's why I started it. It's pretty new. I only have like 19 followers or something. So
okay. Well, but I mean, people can get to, you know, they can on the radio, we don't get to see your faces. Yeah. We don't get to see an example of the work that you do. Yeah. But on your YouTube channel, you can get a flavor for that. And it's easier to reach out to both of you. I don't know if this is a too tough a question, but I want to ask about hormonal changes and how they affect nutrition and fitness. Mm-hmm. Jennifer?
Okay, I'll start. I actually just taught a class this morning on hormones at the Y, by the way. So I'll just start by saying that I think a lot of times when we think of hormone changes or hormones, we just think of our sex hormones, progesterone, testosterone, and estrogen, right? And so as I'm listing other hormones on the board this morning in class, it's like, no, there are so many and they all affect each other. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, and I keep talking about diabetes just because that's one of my specialties, but like insulin is a hormone. Mm-hmm. And so if we are eating consistently and we're trying to eat balanced meals, our insulin levels are going to be more stable. And then that actually affects our sex hormones as well. So they're all intertwined. I think good nutrition, exercise, I think both of those things are really key components into kind of managing those hormones as we age.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we've already touched on this, but being willing to adjust, like especially women obviously go through a variety of hormonal changes much more differently than men throughout their life. And so even on a monthly cycle, like your body is handling exercise differently. And there's times when it's really better for you to not work out as hard. Mm-hmm. And then that carries over into as we enter like menopause and beyond, especially in the later years, like the hardcore workouts that maybe you did in your 20s, it's just going to put too much stress on your body. And then that's going to affect your cortisol and your hormone levels there and in a negative way. And it takes you longer to recover.
Did you say during the break that you're just now coming out with some things that have to do with exercise going through menopause?
So actually I just started a new certification, like I'm taking it to become certified as a menopause coaching specialist because, you know, as I'm growing older and more of the women that are in my group, we're all kind of trying to navigate this. And it's something that, you know, hasn't really been talked about. Like, I mean,
But I think it's neat that you're doing the continuing education and learning about that.
Yeah. And I've definitely learned a lot. And like, okay, we do need to adjust how we exercise and how much recovery time. And then, you know, one of the major things that women struggle with in the transition of menopause is sleep. And so then if you're not getting adequate sleep, then that's going to impact your exercise. And so like it all is connected. And mm-hmm. so, yeah. It's a tricky time for a lot of women.
I'll also say that I think this is one of the areas where our culture really poisons, especially women, because there's an expectation that women's bodies should look the same at 20 as they do at 60. And it's like, that's not how our bodies were meant to be. You know, our bodies are meant to change a little bit. We know from research that having a little bit of extra weight after the age of 65 is actually protective. So that's a good thing. So I think we need to kind of reframe again. We're talking about like what is actually healthy for our bodies, not what the culture says our body should look like.
Gina mentioned bone density earlier and how resistance training, and I want you to comment further about that, but something along the lines of nutrition has to have something with bone density too. So how would you guys work together to help somebody that's experiencing maybe osteoporosis or something?
Yeah. I mean, so Gina already commented on it a little bit with the strength training is really huge. And that's actually, I mean, that's an important factor in all of our hormones and our metabolism. And we know that that's actually a main reason why people gain weight as they get older, because they're losing muscle mass. And mm-hmm. that makes our metabolisms go down, right? But specifically with bone density, we know that there are a couple of nutrients like calcium and vitamin D, and also protein that really make a big difference in bone density. And so if we're slacking in one of those areas, I'm going to probably ruffle some feathers here, but like our main dietary source of calcium and vitamin D is dairy products. And for some reason, all the influencers are saying that dairy causes inflammation, which is not true. There's literally no research that supports that. And so what's happened is,
if you're trying to sell almond milk, that's what they say.
Yeah. And so the problem is usually those products are not, they don't have as much calcium and vitamin D. And so we've moved away from this major food group because of some misinformation. Now, I do understand some people might have trouble digesting it or, you know, and that's a different story. But the research clearly supports that that can be part of a healthy, balanced diet. And so, again, we're just seeing some of that misinformation creep in, and that's affecting our overall health in a negative way.
So if somebody has started to have bone density issues, can they actually add bone density?
Well, you can improve. With my one client, she was like pushing the osteoporosis line. And then when she went back, it had improved because she had added that strength training. And so,
you can.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was also, I worked with a client last year who was kind of same situation. She was in that she had just hit the osteoporosis bone density measurement. And there's also some research showing that eating prunes regularly actually improves bone density. So 6 a day. So it's kind of a lot, but so she started doing that and she saw the same thing.
Oh,
she
wow.
saw an improvement in her bone density. And so now she's in the osteopenia category, which is slightly where she has slightly more bone density. That wasn't the only thing she did. She also did strength training, and we added dairy back to her diet because, again, she was thinking that it was bad for her. So there's some things on both ends with almost every health issue that you can improve on. And actually, I like the word progress. Where are we making progress in this? And there's areas in both exercise and nutrition.
Yeah. I'm imagining that people you work with have at least been conscientious to try different things. And so is it hard to convince them that there's some basic simplicity to what they need to do? And is it ever too late to start?
No, I don't think it is. It's never too late to start moving in the right direction, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that goes back to the gospel, right? Like the gospel is available to all of us at any point and while we're here on earth. And we can turn to the Lord at any point and go in the right direction. And I think it affects your life from that point forward. And so same thing with your habits. You know, if I start making healthy habits now, what we have is what's in front of us. We aren't supposed to focus on the past, right? Forget what's behind and move forward. And so you can make adjustments and move forward in the right direction.
Jennifer, what's the biggest mistake that younger women make when it comes to eating? And then I'll have Gina say what's the biggest mistake they make regarding exercise.
Yeah, I've actually been working with quite a few like later high school, college age women recently. And I think their biggest struggle is probably consistency with eating. So because of busy schedules or because they didn't plan ahead, they'll end up missing a meal or skipping a snack.
I have a daughter that's a nurse. I can't get her to drink water all day.
Yeah. And they'll just forget. They'll forget to eat. They'll forget to drink. They'll forget to do the things that their body really needs. And so that's been a consistent pattern of we've been working on making progress with that and just finding like simple things to add in the middle of the day so that we're not just skipping feeding our bodies.
I love it. Are you supposed to just eat 3 squares a day?
Well, I always say it kind of depends on the person.
Okay.
Because if I, like, for example, if I'm eating breakfast at 6:30 or 7, and then I'm going to do a workout, and I have, this happened last week, actually, I had clients at 10, 11, 12, and 1. So I didn't have a lunch break. And so I ate lunch at 9:30.
Mm.
And that was good for me because I knew I wasn't going to have time. And so that lasted me, you know, the whole, so I think it depends on the person. It depends on the schedule. It depends on the hunger, all of that.
Yeah. Gina, when I asked you this a little bit earlier, I thought, okay, I'm envisioning Gina doing the dishes and doing some movements while you're doing that. So you're kind of exercising all day.
That's funny. Yeah. Cause like if I'm getting water at the fridge, I'll do calf raises or my husband used to laugh. He laughs at me because when I would visit him, like I'd always be doing some sort of stretching while I was waiting. Cause well, and my background was I was a synchronized swimmer. And so stretching was a very important thing. So every night my sisters and I would be in front of the TV stretching and working on our splits. And so that's a habit now. And so if we're watching a movie, I'm like doing Pilates on the floor or stretching or something. And
I'm going to ask you when we come back, both of you have told me that you've had some negative things when it came to your relationship with food. And I want you to share that and how you overcame that when we come back on ABQ Connect. Gina Cordova and Jennifer Bryant, we'll be right back. As we're visiting today with Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling, and Gina Cordova with Rise and Abide Wellness, the way to contact them is riseandabidewellness.com or nourishnutritioncounseling.com. Both have YouTube channels, and you can kind of get a flavor for what they look like and who they are. On the radio, you got to listen to their voice, and both of these individuals are very nice. I also admire both of you because at different times when you've been on the show, you've shared with us difficulties that you've had with food. Would you guys share just a little bit about that? We've got about 10 minutes, so I just want people to know that you've been there and done that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'll try to keep the short version. But yeah, I think in high school, I think I just, you know, you're so impressionable at that age. And I was watching some of the older women in my life and Christian women just really be obsessed with what they weighed. And they would be constantly on a diet. And it was like what they weighed was the most important thing to them. And so I kind of took that on and thought, well, if it's important to them, it should be important to me, you know? And so in college, I kind of started playing around with just like skipping meals or not eating very much, you know, trying to lose weight. And then what kind of started happening, which I have seen a lot with a lot of my clients, is my body was really mad at me about that. I was running a lot. I was not eating enough. And so I would just be so hungry. I would have all these cravings. I would end up usually overeating and then I would feel really bad about it. And so then I'd do the same thing the next day, you know, skip the meals or eat way less. And so it was like this vicious cycle. And I see that happening in so many of my clients too. So the Lord convicted me. He was like, why do you feel like your weight is the most important thing? Like, where am I? And I was like, oh, wow. I never thought that like God cared about what I was eating or how I was feeding my body. And so that kind of started me on my own journey to like getting rid of, it was essentially an idol, right? I was making my weight or my appearance an idol. And so the Lord really showed me that and showed me that I needed to get rid of that and focus on Him and focus on feeding my body consistently.
And in a healthy way.
Yeah, in a healthy way, yeah. And kind of like what we were talking about earlier in the show, you know when you're eating mostly healthy foods, like you feel better. Mm. You can do more things. I love, Gina might share this in her story, but Gina always talks about fitness in a godly way as being ready to do what the Lord has called you to do. And when I was stuck in that under-eating and then overeating cycle, I wasn't able to do anything else. I wasn't able to do anything for the Lord. All my thoughts were about how long do I have to run to work this off? Or, you know, and so it was just this unhealthy way of thinking. And so, yeah, the Lord really showed me that, like, actually, that's not what He wants at all.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess mine is really similar. Mine was to the point of being hospitalized for anorexia when I was 13. And I grew up in that same diet culture where all the women were like on the different weight loss programs and always concerned about their weight or always feeling guilty for eating. I shouldn't eat this and I won't eat tomorrow because I ate this. And so that was the thought pattern that I developed and adopted. And I was terrified of having to be on that. I didn't want to gain weight. So I went the opposite direction. And part of that was comparison. Like, I was a swimmer, and so I was in a bathing suit all the time, and we were constantly comparing bodies, and we idolized skinny. We idolized who was the thinnest, and so you didn't want to be the one who wasn't the thinnest. Mm-hmm. And so all of that was just so unhealthy, and it went the opposite direction after a while, like struggling with bulimia, and again, that comparison. I would compare what I ate, and in college, I remember this, I was training and my friend was not training, and I would compare, like, I couldn't eat more than her, but I was like swimming like 2 to 3 hours a day. And so that's just so unhealthy. And so I lost all kinds of weight again. And it was just this up and down, and just feeling like the burden was on me. Like, I had to fix it. Like, I knew something was wrong, but even after coming to Christ, I felt like I was just always disappointing the Lord, always letting the Lord down. And it was my fault. And I didn't really understand, like, the gospel is for that too. Like, for all of our struggles in life, it's not Jesus saves you and then you have to fix yourself. Mm-hmm. It's Jesus saves you and he heals you and walks with you through all of your trials and struggles. And like Jen was saying, like, nothing should be above him in our hearts, and what he thinks of us should be our main concern. And
should he also be ahead or above your friends and family?
Yeah.
I guess I'm thinking, Gina, was there a coach that wanted you to lose weight?
No, I think my coach was one of the ones that stepped in.
Okay. Like, well, I love that story.
She stepped in for sure.
I love that. Yeah. As Jennifer was talking, though, I'm thinking, older women, probably married, could some of that pressure have been coming from their husbands?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's possible.
And I say that only because I know there's no perfect husbands. Mm-hmm. I know that they want their wives to be healthy and stuff, and maybe thinking she's really thin, that's healthy. Mm-hmm. But all of this is something that the Lord can direct.
Yes.
And there's hope for people that have eating disorders. Would you agree?
Yeah, for sure. Yes, for sure. And it really is it's a thing of the mind, right? It's an unhealthy mindset. And so the transformation comes through the renewing of the mind and through surrendering to the Lord. And like Jen said, being more concerned with the Lord and what he says and what he thinks than about your weight or what your body looks like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do think, Jim, your comment about just like influences of people around you, I think it's so important if there's somebody in your life that maybe you feel like is really unhealthy, you got to be so careful and gentle when you talk to them about it. Because I think there's so many triggers that can come up with that. If they're feeling like you're judging and not supporting, they're probably not going to make a progress.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
So I think that's really important. I have people all the time that are like, my sister needs to come and see you, you know, or whatever. And I'm like, okay, but does your sister want to come see me? You know, I think that's really important. And you know, our listeners know, if you're listening and you have an unhealthy habit that you're just kind of stuck in, you know what it is. You don't need someone to point it out to you usually, right? So you need someone to come alongside you, support you, and give you, you know, some practical steps that you can take to make progress.
I love the encouragement. And I also love that, knowing Jennifer a little more than I know Gina, I know this takes some discipline. This takes some hard work. And Gina, if you were a swimmer, there is nothing harder than being a swimmer.
A synchronized swimmer.
Man, yeah, because you're like upside down and holding your breath.
Yeah, that's harder.
Yeah. Yeah, plus you have to be coordinated and look graceful and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's a tough deal. I remember just swimming across the pool was enough workout for me.
Jim, can I just end maybe with a Bible verse about discipline that I think has been really helpful to me and really helpful to a lot of my clients? It's Hebrews 12:11, and it says, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those trained by it."
Perfect ending. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Gina. We appreciate you being here. And if you want more information, go to Nourish Nutrition Consulting or Counseling, nourishnutritioncounseling.com and riseandabidewellness.com. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.